Hey, fellow NDE fans, we have some exciting things coming up on the other side, but we could really use your help and support to keep going with this channel. Our outreach team works around the clock, making sure to bring you the best NDE stories that we can find. But now we're looking to expand into other countries to get near-death experiences from around the globe. However, we need your help and support to make this happen. This is why we're introducing our YouTube membership program. Get access to exclusive, ad-free episodes that haven't been on YouTube. Watch and participate in live Q&As with the guests. Engage directly with us and NDEers. Participate in giveaways and live events. And most importantly, you will ensure our channel's continuous efforts to seek out and uncover these important experiences worldwide. Support us by hitting the Join Now button below. Thank you for your continued viewership and support. Your help will make a difference, and we look forward to building our community together with you.
Hello, Vincent Olivier. I'm the author of the novel The Man Who Kept Dying, and as I like to say and joke, I am the man who kept dying. I had a near-death experience in early 2018, but before I share with you that near-death experience, I should mention that I had quite a bit of a history with meeting death multiple times in my life before the NDE in 2018. So my first encounter with death happened when I was just a month old. I was just a baby, and my parents were driving so that I would meet my grandparents for the first time. And they had a car accident. And you have to remember that those were the 80s. So, you know, car safety, child safety in the car, those were not on par with where we have in this day and age. So essentially, I flew within the car. It wasn't a bad accident. Nobody was injured. But my parents found me like crying and being completely unhappy about what had happened. Of course, I've got no memory of that accident because I was just a baby, but my parents told me about it. So in the following years, and I don't know if it was linked to that car accident or not, but I was living with a very strong fear of death. And for some reason, I was always fearing that if I were to die, I would have to come back, something I could not really define what, but I remember always fearing death. Then you have to fast forward to when I was around 10 years old, and I had two back-to-back emergency surgeries. They were quite serious, but again, I went through that. I was fine, but still really wondering why is it that was happening to me at such a young age. Fast forward a few years again, and I find myself being 17 years old and being involved in another car accident. I was a passenger, and the driver lost control of the car, and we ended up crashing on the side of the road. And as a passenger, I remember that I bore the full impact. All the impact was on the front passenger side where I was sitting. I just remember before blacking out thinking, that's it, I'm dead. There's no way I can survive that. I woke up a few minutes later or after that accident, and I was just laying by the side of the road. I would see a bright blue sky and just a damaged car just like behind me. I was just wondering what did happen. Oh yeah, okay, we had a car accident. I was just reconnecting what had happened before that. But what was more surprising to me is a few weeks later, I was shown pictures of the car and the state of the car. It was completely flattened where I was sitting. And what you have to know about me is I'm quite tall. I'm 6'4", and I was probably already 6'2", 6'3", when I was 17 years old. And there was no way my body could have survived without any injury, bar just a few scars. And how is it possible? I was really wondering that, because looking at the pictures, I should have been dead. If not, I would have been like at least completely squashed by the accident itself. So this leads me to a conversation I had with my grandmother when I was between 18 and 20 years old. I've always had a really good relationship with my grandparents and my family, but even more so with both of my grandmothers. And we could have really in-depth conversations about life or about everything. They were really cool. And with one of them, I remember having that conversation and saying to her, I really wonder what's with me meeting death so many times. I am aware that there are lots of people who are going through a lot more ordeals than we have, or a lot tougher situations or harder situations. But I'm also aware that there are a lot of people who just pass away from just a little incident. So why is it that I've already encountered death 4 times in my life? Every time it could have been quite serious. And yet here I am. And if I were to walk in the street, nobody would even know. I just have a few scars on my body, but I'm fully able. So it's really strange for me what's happening. And I feel like death is really chasing me. And I remember she smiled. And the answer she gave me has stayed with me to this day, because she paused and she said, well, I think you have yet to accomplish what you came here to accomplish. And the answer surprised me. And I replied back, well, what is it that I had to accomplish then? She simply replied, you know, it could be as simple as just having kids and raising a family or just living your life and in the happiest way you can. What's one of your desires? I would reply, well, I would love to go and live in an English-speaking country. She would say, well, just follow that. I'm sure that one day there will be one opportunity that will lead you to live in an English-speaking country and just like snatch the opportunity when it comes and just that's it, you know, because otherwise, yes, you would have died a long time ago if you did not have something special to do. So life goes on. I go to uni. I start my career and very quickly, exactly as not expected, but she foretold, I have an opportunity to move to an English-speaking country and what better country than the United Kingdom. So for me, it was great professionally. I could expand my career and I could really improve my English because I know that by living in a country, you really have to force yourself in learning the language, learning the customs, learning the habits, and the culture and so on. It's a lot easier to do once you're in the country. So everything goes very well professionally and you fast forward to January 2018. And at that time, on paper, I've got nothing to complain about my life. I live in a nice house by English standards. I drive a nice car and I've got a good job that pays well. I'm married to the love of my life. So on paper, everything is going well, except I am deeply unhappy with my job. It's a high pressure job. I'm doing the job of three persons in one. I'm not too happy and there are lots of restructurations taking place. It's taking an emotional toll on me. And at the same time, I'm also thinking about a career change. And my desire is to become an osteopath. So I've started to do some training. I already have qualification in massage therapy and I'm doing like additional years to learn about osteopathy. So life is quite intense because during the day, I'm focused on my work. In the evenings, I have to study. On some weekends, I have to move to also do some of the studies face-to-face. And I remember at the time thinking that's too much. I cannot really handle that many items on my life, like I'm spinning too many plates. And just a couple of days before the near-death experience happened, I was at the restaurant with my wife and we're having that conversation again that I'm doing too much. And I feel a very sharp sensation on the right-hand side of my abdomen, a bit like a knife piercing through the skin. Very strong, sharp, and quite painful that came all of a sudden and out of nowhere. We go back home after dinner, and the sensation doesn't really go away. If anything, it's becoming stronger, and it happens in spasms now. And I cannot sleep all night. I'm sweating. I try to sleep, but I just cannot. So in the early hours of the morning, we call the emergency services, which is 999 in the United Kingdom. And they told us, well, you need to go to hospital to be checked. So we drive to the hospital, see a doctor. She checked me and she says, I believe you just have indigestion because you've been to the restaurant the night before. It's very possible you've had like bad food and food poisoning, very strong food poisoning. Deep down, I'm feeling that I've had food poisoning in the past and it's not the same sensation. This is something different this time. But she gives me some medication and the medication actually helps. So I do feel better quite quickly. So I'm thinking, well, maybe she's got a point. Maybe it was just that and my system is just not coping with it properly. But she says, you know, if the situation doesn't improve or deteriorates, just call us back and we'll advise in that case. We go back home. I cannot walk all Friday. I'm too tired. I feel a bit better on the Friday, but then from Friday evening, Saturday evening, it comes back. And again, the pain seems to intensify and intensify and intensify. I remember at that time, I was saying multiple times a day, I really feel like I'm dying. And it was quite a painful sensation as well. And a realization, like your body's really failing you and you can't cope with the pain anymore. You don't understand what is happening to you. So physically and emotionally, it's really complicated to handle. So anyway, in the early hours of the Sunday morning, we call the emergency services again. And this time they decide that they should send an ambulance to our home. So a few minutes later, I'm laying on the sofa in the living room and there's a paramedic. And yeah, of course, he asked me, you know, what's been happening. I feel like it's the third time I'm saying it in 3 days and recounting that story. And he takes some notes. It's like he's bobbing his head and he gives me some IV with some painkiller because as you really are in physical pain, we need to make sure they stabilize you a little bit on that front. And I remember the very unpleasant sensation of the fluids, the warm fluid trickling down the veins, and something really weird that when that happens, it doesn't really alleviate the pain immediately. So it gives me a mask and these are medical gases, and so you take a breath with that mask and you should start to feel better. I take a couple of deep breaths through the mask and instantly I find myself in a completely different environment. I'm floating in a dark fog. There's nothing around me, literally Nothing. Interestingly, I've got no recollection of the fact that a moment ago I was suffering in pain and laying on the sofa in my living room. I'm just floating in that dark space, and it's all that matters almost. And it's like I'm taking a breather, and it's just nice. I've got no emotion, I've got no sensation, but I'm not really aware. After I don't know how long, I start to see a tiny speck of light in the distance. And the moment I look at that tiny speck of light, it grows bigger. Or I'm going towards it at the speed of light. I'm not sure which is which. But as I approach it, I see that big circle of light or sphere of light. And within the light, I can distinguish, I can see the silhouettes of four people waiting for me. And I remember clearly seeing like three of them were roughly the same size and the same height. And the fourth one, like to the right, was slightly more in the background and really tall. And I'm quite curious about it, so I get closer to the light. And then, although I cannot see the face of those people or those beings, instantly I recognize them. It's really strange, the sensation, because like if someone was to ring at your door, you open the door, you don't recognize the person, but you know them. It's really strange. It's that type of sensation. And instantly to me, they feel more familiar than my own family in this life. And I realize that I have not seen you in such a long time. And that makes me really, really happy. And I can tell the energy from the other side really is happy energy too. But also, the moment I realize that I know them, although I cannot see them, I realize that this is not good. Because if I'm seeing you, it means I'm dead or I'm in the process of dying. And I do not want that. And for some reason, I think about my wife. She's the first person that comes to mind. And I realize that I am in my early 30s and I'm way too young. I've got way more to live, so many more experiences. It's too early for me to live. So at that moment, and for some reason, I start mixing English and French, but I just have a desire that my message is clear and well understood. And word for word, I said to them, to those beings in the light, no way, sorry, for that, pas maintenant. Pas maintenant is French and it translates to not now, as simple as that. So I say, no, thank you. I don't want that to happen. And I can feel there's no resentment from the other side. It's more a case of, okay, well, that's what you want. That's fine. And I feel like I'm being sucked back in a tunnel and I reintegrate my body. Again, I'm laying on the sofa, but this time my wife is touching my shoulder and she looks quite worried. And the first thing she asks me is, are you okay? And I look quite confused because I look at my surroundings thinking, what am I doing here again? And I see the back of the paramedic, he still is taking notes. Whereas for me, I look around and I was like, where was I just before? And she asked me again, my wife, you sure you're okay? And I say, yeah, yes, I am. And for some reason, the first thing I do is I grab the mask that had fallen on the floor and almost scientifically, I'm like, I've just had a hallucination, quite a strong one at that. So I'm pretty certain if I breathe the gases again, I'm going to replicate another hallucination. But I try and nothing happens. Again, my wife looks at me very confused now. She doesn't understand what I'm trying to do. And then a few seconds later, the pain came back. So all of a sudden, my body goes back into pain levels 10 out of 10. And at that moment, I realized that actually, when I was on the other side, when I was floating in that dark void, I was pain-free. I could not feel any physical sensation. So I have a bit of a regret at that moment. I'm thinking, I should have stayed on the other side. Because I was pain-free, it seems like everyone was really waiting for a joyful reunion, and there was nothing negative about being on the other side, so I think I've made a mistake. So I try again to breathe the medical gases to send myself back to the other side, but nothing happens, and the paramedic just turns around and says, well, listen, it's pretty bad, we have to rush you to the hospital, you're in pretty serious condition. So I forget about the NDE and so on because I'm rushed to the hospital. Very quickly they do a diagnosis and they tell me it's linked to one of the surgeries you had when you were 10 years old. So I'm completely dumbfounded because I'm thinking, how can it be that, you know, 23 years down the line this is happening? But they explained to me that essentially I didn't heal properly from that previous surgery and I was leaning away in this 80 bomb inside of me. And yes, that ticking bomb could have detonated 20 years before, in 20 years, or as it did right now. Also, it could have never detonated, but it just happened. You have to deal with the situation you're in at the moment you're in that situation. And they explained to me that I probably will have to go through quite a heavy surgery to deal with that problem. And we try to do non-invasive methods, first of all, to avoid surgery. But in the end, I've got no choice and I go through the surgery. At that moment, I had forgotten about the NDE. Yet, somehow, I remember pretty clearly being quite confident that I would sail through that episode of my life. Because deep down, I was like, I know that I've decided to come back to this life, even though I don't remember specifically why or how. And I felt there were many presences surrounding me, and peaceful presences encouraging me just to stay calm and that everything would be fine. And indeed, I met with a really brilliant surgeon. We had a lot of conversations about how we could go about the surgery. And post-surgery, he explained to me that he really did the bare minimum, and that if I'd been an older patient, he would have done more. But because we've had all these conversations before and he acknowledged that I was young and physically fit, so I'm pretty certain you will recover with the bare minimum. However, you know, we cannot rule out any risk of that reoccurrence, if you like. But I was just happy I had made it through. And it was quite a long journey to recovery because it takes about 18 months to go back to full 100%. And the first 6 months, you will recover at 70 to 80%. And then another 6 months, 10%. The last 6 months, I could not even like draw the curtains or open the curtains. It was just too heavy for me. I recovered pretty quickly and very well. The only thing is, at that time, I still had a fear of death because I knew that there could be a reoccurrence anytime. So every time I had like a bit of painful sensation, I was like, well, maybe that's going to happen again. I do not want to go through this pain. It was just like too painful to go through physically and emotionally. Also, at the time, I decided to just finish the study for the year on osteopathy, but not necessarily continue with that. And I changed job, actually. I decided that I needed to actually move to a better place and reassess life. What was interesting also is I pushed myself to appreciate life a lot. Before that, I was very much focused on my career and not enjoying life enough. So now I was just pushing myself to enjoy life, enjoying the process of the recovery, although it's not always the most enjoyable one. And I would say, in hindsight, that for me, 2018 was a great year. It didn't start on the right foot, but after what had happened, I had a great outlook on life, although I was still fearing death a little. And that changed when, out of the blue, and I still don't know why she found that article interesting, but my mother decided that she would share with me an article about near-death experiences. I started to read that article one evening, and it's about a French doctor who has been fascinated about near-death experiences and wanted really to understand that. And he had partnered with a hypnotherapist to develop the method that would put people in the same state as if you were having an NDE, except you have none of the physical constraints or emergency associated with the NDE. And as I say to people, I don't recommend a near-death experience to anyone because it means you're in serious and critical health situations. So don't try it, as simple as that. But as I was reading the article, the person who had written the article was explaining how he went through the hypnosis session and that he found himself floating in a dark void and that he saw a light and he saw a being within the light. And he got to meet with those beings, and the beings took him to different places and what he called like the spirit side. It reminded me of something, and I could not quite put my finger on it, but I was like, it feels like I've lived that experience. I just cannot really remember where or when. Yet at the same time, if I lived such an experience, I could not have forgotten about it. And the memory came back. It just floated back like a flash in my memory about the near-death experience on that Sunday morning before I was rushed to hospital when I was laying on the sofa and inhaling those medical gases. But I wasn't too sure still if it was a hallucination or if it was real. So I went to my wife and I said, hey, do you remember anything specific happening on that Sunday morning before I was rushed to hospital? Because I remember at one point you were touching my shoulder and you looked quite alarmed. She paused, her face went completely pale. And she said to me, well, I've never really wanted to say it to you, but I thought you were dead. I said, how so? Well, she started to explain that the paramedic was busy taking notes and he wasn't really paying attention to me, and that I had dropped the mask and my eyes were completely open, but looking lifeless. I said, literally, it was not like your body was lifeless. There is something quite specific about it. And she said, so I went by your side. I was ready to scream. I touched your shoulder. I called your name and you didn't react immediately. But after like 2 to 3 seconds, you sort of came back to consciousness, but you looked completely confused. And remember, you looked at me like, what's happening? Where am I? And at that moment, I was like, well, I'm just happy you're back here, essentially. So I said, I proceeded to tell her about the near-death experience I had had. And for me, the fact that it lasted between, I don't know, between 3 and 5 minutes in my perception of time. But for her, it was just like 2 to 3 seconds. And so that difference of how we interpret time, depending on where we are. And for me, it was a fantastic acknowledgement and a confirmation that it had not been a hallucination. And actually, she was there. She was my witness for the fact that it had really taken place. And at that moment, too, what had happened, it lifted an immense weight from my shoulders. The fear of death had disappeared instantly. And to me, it's like I was just giving death a big hug and saying, hey, thank you for showing to me that actually there was nothing to fear. It's just a transition, because now I know for sure, and I've lived it and I've experienced it, that my consciousness is going to continue after my life as Vincent ends. And that to me was such a relief in itself. And I know that on the other side, there's a family, so to speak, that is waiting for me and that I'm going to reunite with, although I don't know who they are. But just those elements felt just like so peaceful, and a complete sense of being at peace with death and just going through the, well, if I die tomorrow, so be it. I'm at peace with it. Whereas before, I would just be in total panic about it. I'll resist it. I'll do everything to resist it. But also, to me, better understanding death led me to better understanding life, and led me also to understand that it's important to live life to the fullest, but to live life according to who you are as well. And removing the element of fearing death allowed me to, well, live life more as simple as that. Be more adventurous with life, because I'm not always away from home or this or that. Just like go and live your life. Huh? So that's it. The story, although the ending was itself was very short, it completely changed my perspective on death. And as a result, completely changed my perspective on life. And I just wish that everyone could have that moment where they remove completely the fear of death. Although I believe it's very personal and individual, down to each person. But I'm pretty certain as society worldwide, if we had a complete change of beliefs about the way we see death, we could change a lot about the way we operate as a society, the way we treat each other as individuals and so on. And the big what if I had met with the beings that were waiting for me within the light? And what would they have told me? What would they have shared with me? What would they have shown me? And I'm just exploring that what if idea within the novel in the form of a story, because I think it's a bit easier to share it in that context, and it gives it a bit of fiction elements as well, where you have more freedom to share the story that way, in my opinion. Thank you for listening to the story. Hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you find it interesting for you.